I'm going to send you up against the best.
Yes, sir.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
I feel the need.
The need for speed.
For 5 weeks, you're going to fly against the best fighter pilots in the world.
You guys really are cowboys.
I don't like you because you're unsafe.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
The wild card lies by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, I guess when I see something, I go right after it.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.
Gentlemen, this school is about combat. There are no points for second place.
You figured it out yet?
What's that?
Who's the best pilot?
No, I think I can figure that one out on my own.
Tom Cruise, Kelly McGillis. Top Gun.
All right, everybody, welcome to the I'll See You in Hell podcast. As always, my name is Ollie, and I'm joined by my good friend Nathan. Say hello, Nathan.
It gives me a hard on. Don't tease me. Don't tease me.
And this week, Jesus we're Christ. Joined by our good friend Lau, who has been on previous shows, including Point Break and some others. And say hello, Lau.
Hola, amigos. Yes.
Jesus. We are covering the 1986 movie Top Gun. This movie is directed by Tony Scott. It stars Tom Cruise, Tim Robbins, Kelly McGillis, Val Kilmer, Anthony Edwards, Tom Skerritt, and Michael Ironside. The synopsis of this film is, as students of the United States Navy's elite fighter weapons school compete to be best in class, one daring young pilot learns a few things from a civilian instructor that are not taught in the classroom.
Hold on a second. Tim Robbins is in this movie?
He was in there for a split second, though. And I was like,
he was Merlin. He was at the beginning of the movie and at the end of the movie.
But you could barely see him just for like a split second. I'm like, that's so weird that he had such a small part, but I guess he wasn't a big actor then either.
So I know Tom Skerritt's a Northwest guy. Tim Robbins, is he one too? I feel like he is too.
Or is it just Tom Skerritt?
Yeah, I know Tom Skerritt too.
He's a nice dude.
He is a Northwest icon. And he's been in a lot of movies.
Alien.
I met him. Alien freaked me the fuck out. And I met him one time and I told him that movie scared the shit out of
him. Really?
He looked at me like,
it's a movie, bro. He thought to himself.
Exactly. All right. Let's get started, Nathan. Let's hear it. Let's hear your complaints about covering this movie.
This is like the worst. Listen. This is one of those movies, like, again, like we talk about all the time. Well, hold on. Actually, we talk about, like, hey, when you first watch these movies, you have these things and you might like it and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you're young and you might change your idea when you get older.
Yeah. Well,
I remember not ever really thinking this movie was amazing. You remember when we watched, like, Firefox or Foxfire, whatever it was called, or whatever?
Yeah.
I told you I wasn't really in. I wasn't ever really into those types of movies or whatever, because there's no wizard shooting lightning out of their ass. There was no
God, you're a nerd.
Potions being drunk. So I was kind of like, I mean, so it was a fine movie, but it was like, and I watched it again, and Jesus Christ, man, this movie, it's just like it's the worst acting. It's I can't believe Tony Scott did it, because he did like Man
on
Fire.
You're talking about 1986 acting. It was all over.
But hold on, right? I think we've established, at least Ollie and I have, that's sort of a BS argument, because in the 80s and the 70s and the 90s, there was good acting and good in movies. There was
big budget
Witness.
Movies?
Well,
like this.
Well. Maybe. I don't know. We'd have to look at the list. I mean, maybe Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That came out. It was a really good one. That was good acting. That made a lot of money. You know, so
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I totally get that there are blockbuster movies and that means. Yeah. But I actually was watching this going, because I know Tom Cruise is a great actor. Mm-hmm. And when he was delivering some of these lines, I was like, okay, it's either he's terrible or these lines are terrible. I don't know which one. And Anthony Edwards, he actually was fine in this movie, but he's a good actor too. So Val Kilmer, he's a good actor too, but he just had fucking cheesy. They all had cheesy fucking lines.
It was cheesy,
Sorry. And that guy on the left there, he's in like in every fucking. He's like in The Rock, I think. He's like in every fucking movie. That tall blonde guy. every military.
Oh, that's Slider.
This guy?
No. Yeah,
this
the guy on the left. Yeah.
I just looked him up.
He's in every fucking military movie.
Rossovich.
Rick Rossovich or something?
Rossovich.
So I will just start then, and I will say, I don't know where I saw this first time. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if I saw it in the theater or whether I just saw it on HBO, you know, a year or two later. I probably only watched it a couple of times, but I am totally
lies.
Aware.
These are all again, lies.
Like when I was in the when I was in the frat, this is one of those movies that people would always watch. This and Caddyshack. So it's like these two movies where everyone watched the frat. So all right, Ollie, when did you see this first movie? What's your attachment to it?
Okay, well, I want to invite Lau to speak first. So go ahead, okay, Lau. What's your thoughts on this movie? When did you see it first? What do you think of it overall? Go for it.
I definitely would have seen it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in my teenage prime time because I would have been 15 at the time when this came out.
Oh my God.
And even though it's hokey, I think it's like from that era, all those shows are a little bit hokey, but I thought this was actually better than what I was expecting it to be.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And even to this day, the first few bars of the intro music totally woke me up.
Oh, fucking A. Yes.
Few bars, and it doesn't matter where I hear it or whatever. If that starts playing, I'm like, yeah, let's fucking go. You know? Yes, it's America, like it's the same thing, you know?
I wish I could take a screenshot and put it in the chat. It's not letting me, but I hear. Look at the chat at what I wrote down as my second note on my list here. It says, "When Highway to Danger comes out came on, I imagine Lau lounging by a pool, trying to flaunt his mullet and nodding to the lads and ladies as they sauntered by."
That's
my second note.
Yes, I knew that's, it. Pretty much true. That's pretty much true.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Nathan, but I want to challenge you. I think I know what Lau's talking about. It's not Highway to the Danger Zone. He's talking about the Top Gun anthem.
Oh,
yes, that's the very beginning.
Yeah.
But both of those songs, regardless
I imagine, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It gets me all, like, riled up, you know, and I'm like, I want to fight their fucking Russians, you know, that kind of shit, because that was going on back then.
Lau, did you dye your hair at all in college or high school?
Oh, now?
No, in high school.
No. My hair was totally dark.
So you didn't do like the blonde streaks or anything like that.
Oh yeah. Let's see. Did I do
blonde,
that?
Blonde tips or anything?
In those days it was sun-in because I didn't buy the dye. I would just put sun-in in my hair and then it would turn orange.
Yeah, speaking of sun-in hair, Ollie, how did you experience this movie first?
Okay, so. But I was 9 years old when this movie came out. Mm. I lived in San Diego. I had neighbors whose father was actually in the movie.
Whoa.
And I'll get to that in trivia. But this movie was huge for me as a kid. Because, like, it was, again, San Diego, we grew up around Miramar. They used to have an air show at Miramar every summer. I think they still do, but it's now a Marine base, so it's a Marine Corps air show. And it was a big deal. The Blue Angels would come. They'd do a big flight demonstration. Like, everybody I grew up with had at least some affiliation with members of the military. And when Top Gun came out, it was, like, epic. I probably saw this movie 4 or 5 times in the theater.
Whoa.
The summer it came out.
Whoa.
Yes. I would say I probably did too. Yeah.
Really?
It's a fucking big deal, this movie. And it was like, it's just a ride of a movie. Now, on reflection, I completely agree with you, Nathan. This is one of the cheesiest films of all time.
It's pretty cheesy.
I don't know that the dialogue is the problem as much as the plot. The plot is kind of fucking stupid. It's really kind of impossible.
There are a lot of plot holes that I've written down for sure. Yeah, it's pretty absurd. But well, I mean, all those movies were absurd back then. Come on.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I just like the bald headed dude, his commanding officer at first, at the place before they send him to Top Gun.
Yes.
Was that at Miramar? Is that where it's at?
Yeah, Miramar's where the Top Gun was. Yeah,
okay, yeah. He always had the big cigar.
Yeah.
And he was dripping with sweat. Everybody was.
They were all dripping with sweat.
Well. I have many notes about this, but yes, everyone's dripping with sweat. No one has AC. I don't understand California. So I didn't understand that, but I do understand totally why they had him be sweaty all the time. Mm-hmm. So, but I did love the bald guy, because he does the thing where he's like, you know, because they get busted, right? Because he buzzes the tower when he's not supposed to, and it makes the guy spill coffee all over himself. And
yes,
and the guy's like,
son of a bitch. You know,
he's basically like, I'd like to bust you, but I can't. Instead, I'm gonna send you to Top Gun. He said, like, you're the best. No. You're the best now that Cougar lost his edge. Like, all right.
Cougar was number one,
he says. Damn it. Cougar was a bitch. We saw that. Cougar was a bitch. He's a bitch. He got shaken up by that shit. We have pilots now that see aliens and fucking hold their shit together. So what the fuck, Cougar? Like, what the fuck, man? So, yeah, that was just some cheesy-ass shit, man. Man, oh, my God.
Isn't that the guy best. That said, he had a couple, like, one-liners, I think.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Like, isn't he the one that said,
well, do you know what he was?
Your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Exactly. Well, I got a better one. If you screw up this much, you're going to be flying a cargo plane in a hot car full of rubber dog shit. Yes.
When I first heard that, and I'm like, did I hear that right?
Well, what's funny about what I watched it the other night, and I was like, is there really a big shipment of rubber dog shit coming out of Hong Kong any one more time?
I mean, maybe.
Enough to go on a cargo plane?
Could be. There's all those tchotchkes that come over and we got to make them.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this is a crazy fan. There's some definite good lines there in here. Is. Like what I alluded to before where, you know, I think it's when, oh, hey, there's Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins.
I think it's where the lady scientist or whatever she is, the lady CIA guy,
Charlie. Yeah,
when she shows up,
her call sign was Charlie.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's also not hot.
No, she is not hot at all. Thank you. I wrote it down. Well, I wrote that down. I go, Kelly McGillis isn't all that hot, is she? ?
I'm trying to put myself into my 15-year-old mental state.
Yeah, I was not.
And I don't even think I thought she was hot at the time.
No. Which,
when you're 15 years old, you think anything, you know, woman is hot, right? But no.
We're not slagging off the ladies. Listen, she's fine. We're just saying that in what you'd expect from a 1986 movie,
yeah.
Top mm-hmm. Gun, Tom Cruise is some like supermodel is what you're going to expect in these movies.
Yeah, especially in this movie. Yeah.
Right. Instead, sure. It's totally not. But but again, maybe back then everyone thought she, I don't know. Ollie, what do you mm-hmm. think? She thinks she's hot?
I didn't have an opinion at the time because 9 years old is just a shy young okay. for that. But
Not for Nathan.
No. I'm head on straight.
I honestly, as a 9 year old, I actually hated all those parts because it like just interrupted the flying scenes and the shit kicking.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I've owned this movie probably on like 3 or 4 different formats. And I remember on one of them, they had DVD extras that included this interview with Michael Ironside, who said that the director came to him and said, you know, he goes like, the script's like this big, like it's tiny. And he goes, yeah, the script's really not important. This is all about rock and roll and flying. That's it.
The rest of the script is like, da-na, 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 da-na. And then like a couple of lines, then the song comes in again. Yeah. I fucking love that shit. There was the other, you know, they had a couple of the good songs, the Danger Zone song, but you know, like every other 80s movie, the filler songs in the background mm-hmm. were so fucking bad. They were so the instrumentation. It was like when we watched Running Man or one of those ones Schwarzenegger and like Commando. And, like, whenever and they the, did have the song,
the steel music, drum.
Oh my God, it was just terrible. Fuck,
unbearable.
Man. Oh my God, it was unbearable. So they ended up fighting the kind of Russians, I guess, right?
Yeah.
In the end of this, yeah.
At the beginning and the end, it's the Russians.
Not starting any world wars. That's good. They denied it, I think, right? Or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's how they got away with it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is dogfighting still a thing? Is this happening that we don't know of?
I don't think so, because I think drones have kind of made this all kind of pointless.
Well, do you think these were happening? And, well, 86 was the peak of the Cold War, but I don't think these big dogfights were happening.
So I had a discussion of this with my buddy who's in the Air Force, and he flies, and mm-hmm. This is 10 years ago, he told, because I asked him, I'm like, oh, I was like thinking I was smart. I was like, you know what they should do? They should put a gun in the back of the plane, so when a guy's behind you chasing, you can shoot at him. And he's like, dude, no one dogfights anymore. He's like, no one dogfights. He's like, they drop bombs, they fly reconnaissance, but no one dogfights. And he's like, by the way, if anyone dogfights with the U.S., our technology is so much better than theirs on the front.
Yeah.
They'll just get destroyed. So no one's going to dogfight us.
Well,
that'll shoot us out of the air with missiles.
I was thinking of that as one thing. When those Russians are shooting at Maverick or whoever, two things. How does Maverick know that they're shooting at him? Because it seems like the second they start shooting, he's turning his head.
Yeah.
And all of the bullet noises are going pew, 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 essentially. I'm like, do they use that soundtrack for every movie of like a bullet shooting or something?
Yeah.
Guys have heard, or probably watched YouTube videos of, soldiers getting shot at. And when you hear like the snap, that's when it's really, really, really close to you. And when you hear just like pew, but nothing really else, it's not that close to you. So there's definite different sounds, but they never use them in these movies. It's always, like Lau said, the same pew, pew, pew that just pings off of things and stuff like that.
And I wonder if they even had guns in 1986, because that seems like something from the 1940s.
What do you mean?
I mean, they have missiles that they're using on these
jets. On their planes.
Did they have Gatling guns on the front? No.
I don't think they did on the F-16. Did they?
They guns really on the F-16? Yeah, huh. I think they do.
Weird.
If they did, they were their main instrument of destruction, though. I mean, relied on fucking missiles. They shoot people out of the air.
So I think in general, bearing in mind that these planes very often when they go into service, they'll go into service much longer than intended. So they often will get used for things that are beyond their original scope. So, I think they put guns on planes so that they have the flexibility of eventually making them, air to ground attack versus just air to air.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like low altitude stuff.
There's somebody out there right now who's screaming at this at his iPod going, "You guys are fucking idiots." Nothing that you said the last 5 minutes is actually true. So, we know nothing.
Yeah, we know nothing is absolutely
true. We know nothing for sure. Yeah. Just like Joe Rogan. We don't know anything. If you believe us, that's a problem. That's your problem.
All right, so let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about Nathan's favorite scene, which is the volleyball scene, which is easily the most controversial scene in this movie. Have you been playing with the boys, Nathan?
I've been playing with the boys. Why were they wearing pants, right? So it's like, one guy had shorts on, the rest had pants. I mean, it's like, take them off, wear your boxers. I'm sure no one's going to care.
Did you see how high Tom Cruise's Levi's were pulled up when he was leading this?
Very high. Tom Cruise also looked of a height with everyone else, which means everyone else had to have been short in real life or something. It's just another reason to take your shirt off and have someone squirt you down with a spray bottle, which happened this whole entire movie. Lots of pumping fists. Lots of slapping each other, lots of high five and stuff. Anyways, I've got to stop there. I just wrote down basically then the volleyball scene, and then and then I wrote down why volleyball ?
What should it have been instead?
I don't know, Lau. What would you play if you were a hot shot fighter pilot? Basketball, maybe.
Probably football.
Yeah, football. I play basketball against guys.
Volleyball, probably.
Didn't they play football in Point Break?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played some football. Well, Ollie, what would you play? And would you wear pants while you did it?
If you see my complexion, man, I'd be wearing a long sleeve. Full sweats. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you guys know what I look like, and you know that definitely not the San Diego complexion.
Well, it was really hot and sweaty out there, yet when he goes, when he gets on his bike and rides away, he puts a fucking super leather jacket on. He's got to be boiling that thing. But anyways, Ollie, what would you play? What would you play? Volleyball?
Foosball. Definitely foosball.
Okay, see, that's even better. Inside with a non-existent AC.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. This is, I mean, what'd you guys think?
It would be the dorkiest Top Gun airplane pilot.
Yes.
Foosball.
I feel like those dog tags is smacking you in the mouth while you're trying to like serve or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's also another move. Did you see that move where he just sort of flexed? He's just
sucking in his tummy and stuff like that. Yeah. Ollie, what'd you think about it? Did you like it? Was it necessary?
No, completely unnecessary and pointless. But I did, the one thing you pick up from the scene is the Top Gun high five, which is the smack up, smack down.
Right. Yeah, I guess that wasn't in play until this movie, right?
Yeah,
I don't remember seeing it. But
totally pointless, but one of the biggest scenes that everyone always talks about. They were doing, right?
In a movie where people shoot at each other with high-tech planes, this is the scene everyone talks about. Four dudes with pants on, but sweaty upper bodies playing volleyball. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then they had how many scenes did they have in the locker room with them with just the white towels?
Lots.
They didn't seem to like debrief anywhere except for that locker room.
The guy's tiny whities. You guys rock his tiny whities behind him?
It's very homoerotic for sure.
Exploitative is what I say. It's like pretty bad, pretty bad.
Ollie, well, you said that loud, but I want to focus on it because what Nathan does often when we start the podcast is he'll like surface a line from the movie, and the bit that he mentioned was like, that gives me a hard on.
And then the other guy's like, don't tease me. It's in this scene right here too.
Yes, exactly. It's
the guy sitting over to the right. And I was like, what is going? And there's at least one other time where there's lines like that. And listen,
well,
a bunch of bros in the 80s, you know, we're comfortable.
Well, Ollie, we need to defer to Nathan's expertise because not only was he but he was at WSU. So
yes, exactly.
I'm sure this stuff was happening all of the time.
I mean, Ollie and I talked about the extent of this the other day on one of the other podcasts with the one guy, the Republican guy who put his junk in the guy's face. Did we talk about that?
Madison Cawthorn.
So I was saying it wasn't that bad, but there was other stuff. But yeah, I mean, when people just do that stuff, it just they get crazy, but not that crazy.
So Nathan, what you're saying is circle jerks are a real thing.
No.
Sure.
Come on, this is a family show. I mean, they are real, but I just. Partaker.
Now, Nathan, did you cry when Goose died?
No, I do remember feeling bad for him at the very because he was, he was a decent actor and he had a good character. And so I remember the first time watching, I was like, oh, come on.
He was partnered with somebody reckless. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
I was kind of confused by how he died. How did he die? I mean, I know he smashed into the thing, but
he smashed his head into the roof of the
right, but it's just because it glass. Didn't deploy fast enough
think that's what it did. It didn't deploy fast enough for his rocket thing went too weird. Fast.
Okay,
the thing was spinning, it was in a flat spin, right? And so there was like a little bit of a vortex above the plane. So, like, when he like ejected it, I think they did this on Mythbusters. I think proved that it couldn't happen or something. I don't know.
Is that where you got the vortex reference? Because that seemed like you pulled it right out of your ass. Okay.
That's what most of my life, pulling something right out of my ass.
Well, you've done good so far.
Yeah, I'm surviving.
You're still here.
Still here.
Podcast.
If there was any scene that evoked emotion from me, I think it would have been that one. Yes, it was a sad. He was good. And then he was on ER later on. I liked him on ER.
Yeah. Yeah, Anthony Edwards is a good actor. I mean, there are some good actors in this. And like Tom Cruise is a good actor.
He is.
Tim Robbins is a good actor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's honestly.
Val Kilmer's a good actor. They all are good actors.
Did you guys see the Val Kilmer documentary?
Oh, so good.
No.
It was cool to watch, but he as a person would drive me fucking crazy.
How so?
Just because he's always on. As a as you know, a private person, not as an actor, he's always on and always performing. And I remember watching those videos of him recording everything, and I'm just like, oh my god, he'd be so freaking exhausting being his friend or something. You don't know who a person is, you know. Huh.
I love what was that? What's that movie, Ollie? Weird Science? No,
Weird Science. Real Genius.
Real Genius. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, he was good. He's a great actor. He's done. I mean, also, I think his. I mean, we'll get to it at Mount Rushmore, but I think his best movie is definitely Tombstone. I mean, he crushed it in that movie.
Yeah. Tom Skerritt. There's a ton of good actors. It's just the fucking lines they gave him were just
terrible. So let's talk about some of the flaws with the plot. One of them that comes to mind is actually this bit here. So they're at the party. They've just done the Top Gun trophy. And then Tom Skerritt comes and goes, some of you have to leave immediately, and hands like three of them an envelope, including the one who has just gone through major trauma.
Right.
And say, get on a plane and go to the Indian Ocean.
Right.
Now, so the stupidity of this is that it's kind of an assumption that like the aircraft carrier that's already there, 24 hours from now, doesn't have any pilots on it. It's like, well, we need these guys.
Right. Yeah.
They're so much better.
Yeah. You gotta make sure they complete the mish, you know?
Yeah.
The big mish.
That was the exact thing I was thinking. I'm like, okay, they're gonna call up these four guys just graduated school academy, and there's not other Navy pilots in the whole world that could do this. I guess it's because they were the crack shots or something.
And they had a bit of a buzz on, you know, they were getting drunk at the pool party. So it's like,
adrenaline worked that off.
Never think about these plot holes when you're a kid though. No. I never thought of it until I watched it. You know, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, this scene here. Oh my God. All of a sudden, everyone. Okay, that's the scene. There's a scene in here. Well, if you haven't seen this, there's a scene in here.
Everyone knows the scene.
There.
Locked up feeling.
Tom Cruise is trying to get. Yeah, you've got the love and feeling. He's trying to get with the lady.
Kelly McGillis.
And everyone in the bar just, you know, apparently drops everything they're doing to help one guy hook up. You know, and like even his enemies start singing along with them. It's like, what is going on here?
If this were to happen in real life, it would be awkward silence.
The 80s ladies in the target rich environment. This is that's what they say.
Well, you know, the other thing I noticed right after the scene that would never fly today. Mm-hmm. Did you see how he followed her all the way into the bathroom?
Yes.
Up in her business, like way over the top aggressive. Even when he was talking to her with this whole scene and then talking to her by the table and stuff, I'm like, whoa, this is like Harvey Weinstein.
In the 80s, that was romantic. That was what
you
were supposed to go the extra mile to, not take no for an answer. You're trying to get these ladies on, it's crazy.
I'll go one further than that. At the end of the volleyball match, he rushes off because he's got his first date with Charlie, which is at her house, and she's cooking dinner, and he walks in and he goes, "You mind if I take a shower?" Have you guys ever been on a first date
and
you showed up at a girl's house and then used their fucking shower?
Well, not only that, but he's like, "You can just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to go take a shower." Like, Jesus Christ, man. That's an ego.
Yeah. I mean, it is proven that he has a giant ego. That's what
I mean. He is a Top Gun pilot. Maybe all Top Gun pilots are like that.
And his first meeting, he's telling them that he's going to win and all this other stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, but on top of that, that's just, if she didn't red flag him for that, then she's crazy. She's got a problem herself because a guy just comes in and does it. Now, if a woman came in on your first date and said, "I'm sweaty, I need to take a shower while you're cooking her dinner," what would you think? I know what Ollie would think, but
I'd be like, "It's going to be a fun night," is what I would be thinking. I wouldn't think twice about it. I would beg for something like that.
You wouldn't
I wouldn't be pissed or anything. I'd be like, yeah, to me.
It's a good distinction Lau's making because he's saying that this wouldn't fly.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that he would be against it, and that's a distinction that I think maybe we need to make more clear on our podcast.
How many patches does this guy have on his coat?
A lot.
Wow.
A lot. Now, it works both ways, though, because Kelly McGillis was trying to sleep her way to the top, too, because she was just into him because he seen the MiG. He had seen the MiG, and it was important to her career to talk to the guy who had seen the MiG.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I didn't even get that until I watched it the second time.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get these details. I got these details really sharp at 9 years old. I was all over it.
Yeah, you're all over it. Yeah.
Now, did
you know what?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say we're still on those two. You know what scene I could barely watch? When those two first got together and were about having sex.
Uh-huh.
The backlighting of it, and it was so slow and hokey. I'm just like, oh my God. I don't think I've ever had sex like that in my life.
Take My Breath Away was on the soundtrack.
Yes.
Take My Breath Away.
This romantic. I'm like, the pilot's not going to. He's not going to have sex like that.
No.
It's really weird because it's like, you know, when you're a kid, any sort of sex scenes when you're long as your parents aren't around is pretty awesome. And you're like, oh man, that's some good stuff.
When I was a kid at this era with my exposure to sex of the movies from the 80s, like my vision of sex was just strictly two hands holding each other tight like this.
Right.
That's it. That's all sex
was. So watching this movie must have thrown you for a loop then. Because like, it's definitely not two hands holding each other.
Yeah. And now it's like, if you guys ever get this, it's like when you're watching, you know, people make out in movies, and you're like, and it's obviously Tom Cruise. I just feel it kind of just grosses me out sometimes. Like I'm just like, I don't know. Like I've seen that guy in so many weird roles. I don't know. I just, you know,
the only thing I can think about is I would like to be an actor for like 5 years so I could go and make out
with everyone. My
random co-stars.
Yeah, me
and
too.
It's not a thing. It's just like you're getting paid to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's one of those things that probably sounds better than it is because probably. Like you're like in the middle of a set full of Teamsters and like
yeah, 50 beard people around you.
yeah, exactly. Just like
awkward. Yeah,
turning lights around you.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find the scene. The scene with the strangest kiss ever was like the one on the dock at night and like they're like sucking face and like right ripping there. Each other.
Oh yeah.
I can't find it.
But I remember that one. I remember
it'll come it. To it.
Lau remembers it.
Lau remembers the scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're almost kissing right up there in the upper right.
Yeah. That's him getting mad at his
wizard or whatever that guy's name.
Yeah. Yeah, who just wanted to win, man.
Yeah.
Have you ever yelled at anybody that close
before?
You really?
Oh yeah.
In what instance would you do this?
What context?
College.
Where your noses are less than a half an inch.
Yeah. And it is really weird because it's like you don't do that unless you're going to make out ever. And so when you you've
done this to another man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well,
fucking weird.
He was yelling back at me.
Oliver, have you ever done that?
No.
I've
gotten in between people who are doing that. I have
because this usually leads to just like if you're not really going to fight, this leads to usually you start bumping kind of chests and shoulders.
Must be a frat thing. Never done it.
It's just
Frat/ coog thing.
It's just a big dumb animal thing.
Back to one of those homoerotic things.
Yeah.
That's most of this movie. And you know, there's actually for a long time in San Diego, I don't know if it's still a thing, but there was like Top Gun tourism. Like you could do a Top Gun tour on a bus and like go and see all the scenes. The volleyball scene, interestingly, was just a random parking lot at Miramar that they just threw beach sand down on.
I was gonna say it looked so janky, like it did not look like a and I remember thinking like we're in California. There are beaches with fucking volleyball nets everywhere.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure that out. Like, what happened with that? Like, I don't feel like it was like a reshoot or something. And they had to come in there. We got to put something in here. And then they,
I think they just had priorities on like
that.
On that stuff. Yeah, exactly. Another funny scene was like when Tom Cruise was pouty and like he was going to leave town and she shows up and he goes like, I'll have what he's drinking. And he's like, ice water. You know, like it was such a stupid line.
Well, that whole dynamic was weird too. You have this overly confident pilot and then this traumatic thing happens and then he turns into this total martyr loser that's going to give up everything and go. It was just too dramatic for me. Like, I don't know if that would happen in real life. Too big of a swing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Pentagon is confident enough to send him off to the Indian Ocean because even though he's fucked up, you know, and by the way,
he's the best.
That Porsche right now is probably worth a shit ton of money. That era of Porsche.
Oh, those 356s. Yeah. They're worth a ton of money.
The shocks on the left don't look that good though.
No,
one lady's weighing it down.
Probably one of those VW kit cars. There's a bunch of those.
Let me go back to my notes here and see what I haven't. The plot's really bad. The Philly, the final mission thing was weird. Another thing that I don't think would work is sort of the comments from like the military leadership to the, you know, the grunts. Because like, you know, we're such a sensitive group now as a society that would be like, oh, you've triggered me. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I don't know they'd get away with like, you know, your ego's written checks your body can't cash, or you know, you're a dumbass or any of that shit that you hear in these movies, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, but if they're trying to portray it as real, I'm sure you're hearing that in the military.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they still fuck with you in the military. They depends on how deep you get. I think the deeper you get in, like the more specialized you get, the more fucked with you get. Like the Navy SEALs, right? Get probably overall in when they get in their own squads, get fucked with more than they did probably when they were basic. Because basic, you know, they can't touch them anymore. They can't, at least they're not supposed to. They, you know, so there are rules now, but I think the deeper you get, the more,
do you think
fucking hairy it gets.
Either of you with today's lax standards going through basic training could compete or could complete basic training?
Not in my current shape, but you know, 10 years ago or whatever. I'm sure. Well, I could complete the individual things, but mentally I probably would be too pissed off and angry to make it through day one with all the yelling and the making me work out till I puke. I probably just wouldn't like it, and I would, but I think I could make it through the, because when they,
you
when they
physically, you could do it, but not,
I
mentally. Think
physically, but not mentally. Mentally, I would maybe not even spat off. I might just be, I would quit because I would be tired of being tired all the time.
Right.
So I would just, you know. Right.
It's a difficult question. I think, you know, definitely not in my current shape, but I think I have enough respect for the military to know that I couldn't do what they do. And I don't know that it's for me.
No, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we've covered a lot of movies like this, like, you know, that are very pro-military and very positive about the U.S. military. And, you know, we're not getting political at all, but I feel like it's a great thing. I think we're lucky to have like such a committed force of people that want to, you know, do something.
Volunteers.
And, you know, of course.
Yeah, volunteers. Sure. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, to editorialize a little bit what's going on in Russia right now. Those guys are getting their asses kicked because it's a conscript army. It's like all these people who are forced to be there. They don't want to be there. They're not going to be good at it.
No.
You know,
and they're not going to have their heart in it.
Yeah.
They're not going to fight hard.
We talked a little bit about the casting, and I always have a category of like, was it well cast? If not, who should be in it? But I can't think of any casting problem in this movie. Name a character or an actor who you cringe at other than Tom
Kelly McGillis.
Kelly McGillis. Okay.
That's the only one.
Kelly McGillis, yeah.
So she needed to be somebody hotter.
Well, I think when I'm looking at this movie now, and also in hindsight, thinking about my 16-year-old self, 15-year-old self, she doesn't fit the movie to me.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is abnormally good looking.
Yes, abnormally good looking. They're all cocky fighter pilots. And
yes.
She's just kind of homely.
Yes.
Nothing against her, but she's
nothing
just
against
homely.
Her. It just for reality, like listen, for reality, if the bar was full of the ladies and he walked in and he, you know,
he's not looking at her.
He's looking how he looks and he has his confidence. He's going up to the most aesthetically pleasing one, you know, stereotypically that he can find. The biggest boobs, you know, like.
I have the suggestion.
He's going to Kelly LeBrock.
Kelly LeBrock would have been perfect for this.
Perfect for this role.
Oh my god.
Yeah, back
in the
80s,
she would have been good. Yeah, for sure.
Smoking hot. This movie, I thought she was just god dang. When I watched it the first time, I was like,
that scene. Oh my god,
I couldn't believe it. So that's what we mean.
That's the iconic. That's the iconic. Frame of that everybody remembers.
Everyone remembers that. Oh. Shit. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. So there you go. There you go. There's your casting change.
Okay. Are you guys have anything else to say about the movie in general before I move on to the categories?
No, I'm good. I'm good, man.
Okay. One thing that I was not happy with is I could not find a really high def version of this, which was shocking to me. It came in HD on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then 4K on. No, maybe it was just 8 HD on Apple TV if you rented it.
Yeah.
And it was Amazon Prime. It came in UHD, but I'm not going to rent it on Amazon Prime UHD.
No.
It was really hard to find.
Difference.
I just Netflixed it.
Netflix is fine. I would say, like, I think the new one, though, from my understanding, the new movie that's coming out, and that's the reason we're doing this, I think, is because we have Top Gun Maverick coming out in a couple weeks. They shot it entirely in IMAX. So it's all super high def, and they put like 6 IMAX cameras in the cockpits.
Okay.
Right. Their critics were cheering when they came out of the review or the previewing. Yes.
Hold on.
Fucking yes. A.
What were these critics? What are these guys?
I mean, I don't know what
they go to Miramar
are.
High School.
But I read 2 different articles, and they're like, "Oh yeah, the critics were cheering and raving on and on."
Maybe they were, but I was not impressed by some of the line delivery and stuff in the trailer. I was not impressed by that. So let's hope it's better than that trailer.
As we talked about in the first 45 seconds of this podcast, you fucking hate everything that doesn't have a wizard or a spell.
Maybe a guy's flight name.
Nathan,
be a wizard.
What's your number two movies?
What
right off
number
the top
two of movies.
Head. Let's just say from the mid-80s.
From the 80s, what my top two movies are?
Yeah.
Highlander. Highlander's up there. You know, other than like Star Wars and stuff, probably Highlander what did we just watch?
Flash Gordon?
No, fuck that. Flash Gordon, no, fuck that. With Jack Burton. Was that the 90s?
Big Trouble in Little China.
Action adventure sci-fi. I'm not trying to watch Apollo 13. I'm not trying to watch fucking that kind of bullshit. I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I want to watch. This is okay. I liked it fine when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I liked Schwarzenegger movies. I liked, you know, he wasn't always shooting a lightning bolt out of his ass in those movies. I still liked all those movies. I like, you know,
and that's why
action adventure.
That's why I was excited to cover Olympus Has Fallen last week, because like I think that's
that movie's decent. That was pretty decent.
It's a modern Schwarzenegger movie where he just like fucking breaks necks and shit.
Right. That was a pretty decent movie.
Have you guys seen the TV series on Amazon called Reacher?
No, I've read a lot of decent things about it though.
No, it looked hokey to me.
It's good. Wow, you'd like it. You should watch it. Definitely good.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready to move on to the Bill Paxton Award?
I just got fit. Oh, one thing before you move on. Have you watched the series on Prime, Hannah?
Oh,
I saw the movie.
That's so good. It's so good. If you stick through it. Yeah, three seasons.
Just ended. It's kind of like a little bit like Bourne Identity style kind of thing.
They came out with a movie of it like earlier, like just a standalone movie.
The series is way better than the movie.
By the way, Nathan, how was your Marvel experience this weekend? Was it marvelous?
Yeah, it was good stuff. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone out there.
You can ruin it for me. I won't be seeing.
No, someone who's listening to this, you know, I might get ruined. So, yeah, it was good. It was definitely a Sam Raimi movie. If you're not a fan of Sam Raimi and some of the shots he takes and some of the cheesiness he has, then you might get thrown a little bit. But if you're a nerd and you know comics at all and you've been following all the shows, you will love this movie.
It was all right.
Shut up, though. Shut your mouth.
No, it was all right, and I'm a big MCU fan, but I'm not a comic book fan.
Right.
I like all
these. And one of the main actresses I thought was pretty terrible at acting. The Miss America chick. Yeah, I thought she was pretty terrible at acting, so that was threw me off as well. But other than that...
What about the bad guy? Was the bad guy any good?
The bad guy...
Or girl, the bad person.
Yeah, the bad
person. Oh, Wanda? Good.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think that's the... I mean, the fact that you had to think about it tells me that they were just okay. Because usually, well, like, it's hard really because good, she was a
good...
Guy,
she's a good guy, though, sort of. So it's hard to call her the bad guy. I feel
like this movie, I'll quickly forget.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to forget, like, the Avengers series, the three. Yeah. You know, those will always, you know, and the first Captain America and stuff like that. This is one of those ones where it's like, eh.
Okay, right. So I've already bought my ticket to see the new Top Gun. I've already bought it. I'm going Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, that's perfect. Exactly. Yeah. Wow. We're going to Canada. We're going to go to Canada the week before, so we're going to get back. And Memorial Day.
You'll need a fresh injection of America when you get back to Canada. Exactly. Get that Canada off you.
All right, you ready for the Bill Paxton Award?
Sure.
Okay, Lau, you go first. It's
been so long, I've forgotten.
Okay, well, you know, okay, so I'll refresher. Bill Paxton was a secondary character in Aliens that was really amazing. Oh. So every week we cover a movie, we talk about an actor that's not a main character that steals the show. Okay, I'm gonna give you a minute to think about it, and I'm gonna let
Nathan let me think about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, my first response on this one is nobody. Like, no one really impressed me. But then I start, thinking maybe Val Kilmer, because I like Val Kilmer.
But wasn't he a main? I guess he would be a.
No, he wasn't a main character. Yeah, he was supporting role. He's barely in there. Okay. You know, so I was gonna say him, but then I thought maybe it would be. Whoever the guy or girl was that squirted, who was like squirting the sweat bottle all over him, because to keep him that lubed up,
100% behind the scenes.
Yeah, keep that lubed up 100% of the time.
They were awfully sweaty.
So that means that person was working awfully hard.
And it wasn't just the main characters that were sweaty.
That's still the scene.
Every single person
I couldn't
that was
stop
filmed was sweating.
Okay, can you tell me this? This is going to help prove my point. When you see somebody in a scene and you notice visible sweat on them, that's all you can look at is the sweat and whether it's going to drip down. So that, Ollie, if you try to fucking tell me that my Bill Paxton is not good enough, I'm going to say fuck you, because that's stole the scene.
I surrender.
All right, let's hear yours.
Mine is the actor named James Token, who played Stinger, who is the bald guy that we talked about earlier. And he had the great lines. If you screwed this up just this much, you'll be flying a cargo plane out of full of rubber dog shit.
The guy sucked, though. He sucked. It's awesome. He's terrible. Wow, did you love memorable. That guy?
Was it the bald guy you're
saying? Yeah, the bald guy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Oh, God.
The commander, whatever his name is. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Wow.
I mean, he was angry and smoking cigars so hard, like, the whole time. Or, like, the bit when they're in, like, the radar room, and the guy goes, like, how long do we get the next planes up? And he goes, 10 minutes. Bullshit, 10 minutes? This thing's going to be over in 2 minutes. I mean, yeah. It was great.
I guess.
Okay. Wow, this is a new category we do now. It's called the Mount Rushmore. So we go through the list of actors and we say, is this in their top couple of movies? Like, when you hear the actor name, do you think Top Gun? Or do you
now Ollie's made it harder because he's not allowing me to look them up on IMDb. I got to try to remember what movies or TV shows I've seen them to. So let's start the first one. Maybe he'll get the hang of it.
Okay. Tom Cruise.
Well, fuck no. No, for me, this is definitely not one of his top movies. Fuck no. He's got way more than that.
I disagree. I think this
really?
Is the movie that people think about when you say the word
Tom Cruise. This is the movie that put
Is it his best movie? Yeah. That's not whether.
That's not the question. Is it there? Yeah. Is it the best
movie? Yes.
Or the one that they're known? Oh, best movie. Oh.
No, well, I don't agree with that. No, I don't think so. No, Lau's got it right because Mount Rushmore means like they're at the pinnacle of their career.
No, I've been doing this whole time. I'm going to still do it, is what I think is the best movie they've been in.
I would say that was the
not the one they're most known for.
His career. If you're saying the best movie, it was the one with where he got disfigured. What was that one?
Vanilla Sky?
Vanilla Sky. Really?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I hated that movie so much.
Yeah. Minority Report was better.
For an action movie.
Even recently.
But he's known for Top Gun. That was his movie.
Mission Impossible.
Here's the thing.
Risky Business.
When he finished Top Gun, and Top Gun was as successful as it was, he could write his own ticket. That was the time when he could dictate what movie he's going to be in next. Like, he had peak power. So, and I would say, if we're going by Nathan's standards, I'd say Tom Cruise's best movie is Tropic Thunder. But
that's a good movie too. Yeah,
that's a good scene. Yep.
Come on,
he was great in that. Okay, next one, Tim Robbins.
I really haven't seen him on much. I'm just trying to think.
God, you're crazy.
Well, say a couple movies.
Bull Durham.
Green Mile.
I really haven't seen
He wasn't in Green Mile. He was in Shawshank.
Shawshank.
Okay, yeah, no, Shawshank definitely better than that. Well, yeah. He was in this movie for 14 seconds. So anything you say is going to be Mount Rushmore. I'll just say Shawshank, definitely.
Okay. Kelly McGillis.
I don't remember anything else she was in.
Yeah, this is her pinnacle for sure.
Yeah. She was a one-hit wonder.
Val Kilmer.
Okay, this is the part where everyone yells at us for not remembering any movies that anyone's in. Val Kilmer, no. Definitely not.
Yes.
You think
this is the one that put him on the map?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Tombstone's great and he's a great actor, but when people think of Val Kilmer, they think of him in Top Gun.
Yep. They think of him as Iceman. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I think Weird Science every time, but that's just because that's what I liked better.
Val Kilmer was not. You keep saying.
Or not Weird Science, but I'm a
real genius.
Real genius.
That's because I like that one better.
Yeah. That's Anthony Edwards.
ER.
Yeah, ER is it.
I don't remember any other movies.
He was also in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, shit.
I barely remembered him in this movie.
That movie's awesome, though.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I might say Revenge of the Nerds is definitely better than this. Well, yes. Yes.
Okay. Tom Skerritt.
Alien.
Not this.
Alien,
I don't feel like Tom Skerritt has been in so many movies that are all just kind of the same. I don't feel like there's one that really stands out where... Like, you would have to remind me, like you just did, that Tom Skerritt was in Alien. I would not have remembered.
A River Runs Through It. He was in...
Didn't remember that.
He was in Steel Magnolias. He was
Didn't see that.
I barely remember him in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's right. That's Tom Skerritt. Yeah.
I think he was on a TV show for a while, like One Tree Hill or Nine... Seven Hells or something.
Nicely done.
I feel like he's always been kind of a bit actor.
Yeah.
Or not the main actor, right?
Yeah, except for I guess Alien, he was the captain, but I don't know if he wasn't the main actor. Ripley was.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver.
and he gets killed.
God, Sigourney Weaver's the best in that fucking. Oh my god, that was
unbelievable.
Speaking of Sigourney Weaver, what do you guys think about these Avatar movies? Is it too late now?
Stupid. I hate them. Dumb.
We've talked about it a couple times, right? And have to talk about it again. But the part that makes us the saddest is that James Cameron's an amazing director who's made some of our favorite films, and yet he's spending the last 10 years of his career making 5 fucking Avatar movies.
And it's so stupid, but you know the thing that I question but everyone myself loves him. Because well, and I question myself because I remember when he was doing Titanic, everyone's like, before it was released, oh, it's gonna fail. How stupid that you're doing the Titanic, all these naysayers. It comes out, blows up. Same thing happened with the original Avatar as well. Oh, he's blue aliens, it's, you know, he's wasted all his money. It's, you know, it's gonna be a big box office bum. Comes and blows up. Now Even though I'd like to feel like that's going to happen again and these things are going to blow up, I think it's just going to be a dud.
Really?
Well, this is the thing. Like, it's Avatar is still, like, if it's not the number one, it's like the number two most successful movie of all time. Like, I think it got
haven't
beat.
We moved on from it?
I thought so, but like, people are chattering
like too much
about
time
it.
Time has passed.
Yeah. 2009 I feel like it was a long time ago.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still hear people talking good about it. So.
Well, but like, it's
and want to go to this movie and want to go. Right.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go see it. I bitch about it, but I. Oh yeah, I like.
Well, that's a movie you have to see just because of all the, you know, the build up to it, right?
Yeah,
and the other one, you've seen the first one.
Yeah. Okay. Last actor for this list: Michael Ironside.
No way, Starship Troopers.
Yeah, and Total Recall.
Total Recall. Yeah.
He's also got he's the coolest stage name ever. What's your name?
Michael
Ironside.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Are you guys ready for trivia?
Yeah, let's do some trivia.
Sure.
Okay. So the real Top Gun school imposes a $5 fine to any staff member that quotes this film.
No way.
What if it's because they're embarrassed or whether
they're just probably sick of the fucking
funny
jokes?
Okay. All right. That's
It's like every time I'm on a trip somewhere and we pass one of those like Bubba Gump shrimp places, I always like shake my head and feel sorry for the waiters because you just know endless like Bubba Gump fucking shrimp jokes. Do the Forrest Gump jokes. Yeah. So I feel like Top Gun school would probably get a lot of Top Gun jokes. They're probably enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long can a restaurant still be so popular with a movie that was out however long ago? I mean, it was
like
a great
35
movie
years ago. Yeah.
I mean, isn't there an expiration date on these things?
Yeah, there should be. Yeah, I agree.
Anyhow. All right. Yeah.
Anthony Edwards is the only actor who did not vomit while in the fighter jets.
Oh, I definitely vomit.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I couldn't handle those. Geez. No. Are you good? Do you get motion sick, Glau?
Nope. Never have.
I don't get motion sick either. It's generally when I'm on a boat, if it's really going really bad, or if I in a car, if we're like going around white, you know, if we're not on a straight stretch and I'm reading that and
Jesus
I look
Christ,
up,
Nathan, you're like Cheryl.
But otherwise I'm fine. I can go on like roller coasters and shit just fine.
If you were tall enough.
If I'm tall enough, although those things are scary now. I don't want to do roller coasters.
Val Kilmer did not want to be in this film, but he was forced to by contract. However, it became one of his most iconic roles. If you watch the Val Kilmer documentary, he talks about that. He thought it was a stupid script, stupid plot, bored out of his mind, but he had to do it.
He's right.
That's right. But you know, but Lau's right is that it is
that's
what he's remembered for.
It's true.
You know, I mean, nobody remembers he was Batman.
No, yeah, you're right.
I tried to watch 15 minutes of Val Kilmer and Batman.
Yeah, it's terrible.
The Batman, I almost said the Batman movies. The Batman movies from back then are horrible. I could only make it through like 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, I have to turn it off.
Bad. Yeah, can't be.
So the Pentagon charged Paramount Pictures $1.8 million to use all their planes and aircraft for the film.
$1.8 million, you said?
That seems really cheap to me.
Well, you'll learn more about why they probably discounted it later.
Okay.
I'll tell you in a second. So Jerry Bruckheimer had a hard time convincing Tom Cruise to sign on to this film. He had the Navy take Tom up in a jet and do 5 G's. They did barrel rolls. They do everything. He was heaving on the plane. He was throwing up on the plane. He gets in the tarmac, runs to a payphone and says, I'm in. I'm doing this movie. I love it. This is great.
That's pretty sweet.
I mean, say what you want about Tom. Yes, he's fucking nuts. He has a weird fucking religion that he probably doesn't believe in and just doing it for the because he's trapped in it now or whatever. But he has fucking balls.
Yeah,
this dude does all these crazy stunts where he's hanging off of real planes and he's going up. And I'm thinking to myself, if I went up that plane and I threw up 5, 6, 7 times and I felt like shit, I would not be running across the tarmac to say I'm in. I would be like, fuck this. Let's do a movie about a guy sitting on a couch or whatever.
But have you ever had a moment when your adrenaline is like really pumping? You would do something that you would not normally do because you're so psyched up to do it. I would imagine that's probably what happened with him. Originally, he's like, I don't want to do the movie. And he goes, you know, he's throwing up and all this stuff, but it's the adrenaline that's pumping. He's like, fuck yeah.
Or maybe like threw up the first couple of, you know, turns and then he was fine the rest of the time.
And then
like got into it. I could see that. I could see like after you've exploded and you're like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to.
It's like before you get on a roller coaster, once you're getting to the very peak, you're like, oh man, I made the worst mistake of my life. As soon as you're done, you're like, let's get back in line. Right.
I say that like the idea maybe get on this one where you're like Superman and you're up above and there's nothing really holding you in. And I remember when we're up at the top getting ready to be dropped, I remember saying, I can't believe you fucking talk me into this. I can't believe you fucking talk me into this. I was getting so mad.
Well, you know, we've talked about Tom Cruise before, and he's been compared to, he's like basically the American version of Jackie Chan because he does his own stunts. Well into his 50s or even 60s.
Yeah.
And he's churning out Mission Impossible movies. I mean, he's kind of given up on the true acting thing. Like there was a while he was trying to get an Oscar and he was doing Rain Man. He was doing like The Born on the 4th of July. And he was doing like artistic movies. He did Magnolia. He was trying to get an Oscar. And now he's just like, fuck it. I'm just getting the paycheck. And he's
59 years of age.
But one of the things that's on his IMDb, as far as coming up, he's actually going to do a movie with SpaceX. So expect him to be in one of those rockets going into the atmosphere here.
Tom Cruise in space.
Yes, exactly.
Gonna be hanging off the side of the fucking Blue Origin.
Yeah.
Trying to fucking fight a terrorist off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Elon's inside, tied up.
The Blue Origin penis.
Yeah.
The Blue Origin penis.
The rescue mission. Gotta rescue Elon.
Get him out of here. The character played by Kelly McGillis is based on a woman named Christine Fox, who was a civilian flight instructor, and they met her while doing the research. She eventually rose through the ranks of the Pentagon, retiring in May of 2014 as the acting deputy secretary of defense. I thought that was kind of cool. So, like,
yeah, except for they made her into a saluter duder to try to get ahead. What's that all about? What's, you know, someone's salute. Someone, they basically, you know, she was in this movie, they slagged her off and made her look like she was trying to sleep her way to the top. That's not very nice.
Maybe that's why they made her so she wasn't as hot as we would expect her to be.
Because she's
very brainy. She's portraying a character of this, you know, of Christine Fox. So they're not going to make her, you know, overtly like a bombshell.
Yeah, okay.
Perhaps.
Okay. Okay.
Hey,
brains are sexy. Maybe he was attracted to her brains.
Riding on the back of the film's success, the U.S. Navy set up recruiting booths in major cinemas to try to catch some of the adrenaline-charged guys leaving the screenings.
Wow.
They had the highest application rates for years as a result.
Wow.
So, do you think you could do that in today's world? Have recruiting stations inside the theater?
I do in red states. I think you could get away with that in red states. You couldn't do it in blue states. But, you know, I think.
And you wouldn't, and you probably wouldn't do it after movies where we took a large death toll. Like this one, only one guy died because he got smacked in the roof or whatever. That was his own fault or whatever. But, you're not going to put the recruiting guys out there after platoon. Everyone gets fucking shot and everything like that. Hey, come join. So,
On one of the DVD extras I watched, Tony Scott was interviewed, and this question was brought up, and he said that years later, people came up to him and yelled at him because they had this because they had this image of, like, you know, they're going to join the military and fuck Kelly McGillis, and instead they, like, you know, like, were like shoveling shit on an aircraft carrier.
Dude, we, you know, we've talked about it before on this podcast. You know, we listen to the Jocko podcast or any of those guys talk about it. The recruiters will just lie to you.
Yes.
They will just flat out lie to you to get you to come. So that was just, it's crazy. It's weird.
I told you guys that I almost went into the army, right?
Oh my God. No.
On that note, so I go through all the physical, all the stuff, and I told them from the very get-go, I want to be an MP or I want to be a nurse. And I'm sitting there with the paperwork and a pen in my hand, and he's like, just sign on the paperwork there and then you're in.
Yeah.
Like, well, this doesn't say what am I going to do
with it? Yeah.
Well, we think you could be an infantryman or a radar tech. And I'm like, no, I already told you this. No, well, just sign the paperwork now, and then maybe we can get into you into one of those things later. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I'm out.
Walked out. Yeah.
Smart.
Thank God. And then the Iraq War broke out like a month later.
Oh.
The first Iraq War. Yeah.
Dude.
Well, you dodged a bullet there, buddy.
A literal bullet. Yep.
Yeah. Literal bullet.
But I will tell you, like, I had a neighbor in the last apartment I lived in who was a retired Air Force nurse, and he had a second career after the military. He went on to like run like medical centers, and he made like high six figures doing that, like being in charge of that. Like, so it is a path to like a better, you can turn it into a very lucrative career.
But,
Anyway, all of Maverick's stunt flying in the film was done by a guy named Scott Altman, who eventually became an astronaut. I thought that was interesting. Moving on, follow. Okay, here's the bit I've been meaning to talk about. So the pilot that gets flipped off by Maverick and Goose. So the Russian pilot in this movie was a guy named Robert Willard. Robert Willard was a neighbor of mine when I was growing
up. No way. Weird. Yeah. That's Robert, cool.
Robert Willard was actually an instructor at Top Gun who was like, you know, there before the movie.
Right.
And he was recruited to be one of the, you know, the pilots, and he played the Russian pilot in the movie. So like all those scenes of like the Russian pilot with a helmet on.
Yeah.
In fact, that helmet was in his living room, and he had two boys that were a similar age to me, Mark and Brian Willard. And so they were kind of the neighborhood tough kids, though. So I was definitely not in their league, quote unquote, but I do remember like seeing that helmet on their bookcase.
Yeah. So. With a random red star on there. You didn't know if they were Chinese or, you know, it could have been Russians.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
At first.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot one thing. Oh, here we go.
Cause Chinese also the mix.
Tom Cruise had to wear lifts in his scenes with Kelly McGillis.
I knew it.
Cruise was 5'7" and she's 5'10", so they gave him like high heels.
He's 5'10" anyways without heels on. Damn.
No, he's 5'7".
No, she is.
Oh, 5'10", yeah.
That's
damn. He's tall.
Yeah, he's so short.
So that means I'm 3 inches taller than Tom Cruise.
You'd be looking down at him, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, towering over him.
Yeah, he's a little tiny guy.
Yeah.
This was the highest grossing movie of 1986.
That's not surprising.
Clearly did not get Nathan's money because he was, you know, too cool for school.
Did they have any tie-ins with, you know, McDonald's or anything? Do you guys remember that? I don't think they did.
I'm sure they must have.
You think so? Right? I don't remember they them must doing have. Anything.
Yeah. But
summer movies, they usually do. I don't know if this is in the summer or not, though.
In order to stay in character, Tom Cruise would sit far away from the rest of the cast in between takes.
There's other reasons.
That's weird.
Exactly.
Yes. It's because he wanted to sit far away from the cast. I mean, the guy's elitist. He was elitist back then.
They wanted to sit far away from him because he's fucking weird.
His character wasn't an unpopular guy that didn't have friends in the movie. I mean, he had friends. He was a charismatic guy, so that's not like his character at all. His character would be partying with everyone else.
That's his his personal choice beliefs. Yeah,
always right though. The dude is fucking weird. When you just talk to him, it's be weird to talk to him.
Yeah, there's a whole. I remember listening to a podcast talk about how like the funniest thing to see is him trying to do human things like drink a beer or, you know, like drive a car. Like he's just so.
I have a friend like that. And I do say, yeah. I say, it's like this, like I say, this guy's acting like he's a robot who's trying to act like a human. Like this is how a human would act, I think. And then he does it. And yeah, that sounds just like that. Just like,
is it just because their movements are weird?
Cause they're awkward and they don't.
Like, does your friend have some kind of neuromuscular thing that maybe everything's like half a second off, so it seems robotic to you?
No, it's not even his actions. It's just things he says.
Oh,
like the way he says them, it's almost like he's trying to convince you that he's a human. And just in his tone doesn't sound quite right.
Do you think he's maybe on the spectrum?
Yeah, he might be. He's very successful, so he must be a one other side of the spectrum. That's
wow. Kelly McGillis is like a fine wine, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah. Come on, bro.
She's probably really smart. All right.
Is that her neck or is that a paper bag?
Bro.
Bro. I think that was an edited photo, by the way. That can't be for neck.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. So that was fun. Thank you so much, Lau, for joining us. Nathan, we got to talk real quick here about what we should do next.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So two choices for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't sound exhausted.
I'm not exhausted. I mean, you do all the heavy lifting with the ideas. So go for it.
Okay.
I'm victimized by whatever you choose. Go ahead. Jesus.
John Wick.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Or
which one?
The first one.
Or that movie Nobody I told you about, which would be one that you haven't seen.
Right, which is would make me think of John Wick while I'm watching it.
Nobody.
Have you seen it? It's fucking awesome.
It's with the guy.
I think I've been wanting to see it, and
it's with the Let's Call Saul guy.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's on HBO Max right now. I'm telling you, it's great.
Oh yeah, I've really seen it.
Is it as good? Is it as good or better as Olympus Fallen?
Oh, it's difficult. They're different things.
Ollie, wow, that's a really big choice for you right there.
Yeah,
it's devastating. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I will say just because I know it's safer that we will both love it. We will watch John Wick.
Okay. Do you want to have your brother back on for that one?
Yeah, I'll contact somebody, either Jason.
Okay. So Lau, you have homework to do. Watch Nobody in the next couple of weeks, and we'll have you back to talk about Nobody.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to see this movie. I know Nathan is not, but I don't give a shit. Lau, you and I are in agreement that this is actually a worthwhile film.
Indeed. Good job.
I will see you bastards in hell.
I will see you guys in the hell that would be sitting in that cockpit with Tom Cruise as he tried to not puke.
As he threw up.
Well, you know he'd be doing that.
And he's sweating all over you as well.
Yeah, doing the heavy breathing thing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. See you there.
That was fun, guys. Thank you so much.